The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Key Marine Center.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's a good day for a boat ride. On the boat again. I just can't wait to get on the boat again. I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. Everybody look at me because I'm sailing on a boat. I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. Take a good hard look.
We're all in the same.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning, happy Friday with Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. When you hear that music, you know it's time for Boat Smart, and we are live. We have our guests in the studio right now, both Bill Kidwell, who's the service manager with Key Marine of Northwest Florida, and Stefan Schmidt, who is the Marine Services Instructor.
That's a big title.
At Georgetown Technical College. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Welcome to Boat Smart. All right, tell me what's going on.
Well, what's going on is I started with shorts and short-sleeve shirts on Monday and back into long-sleeve shirts and long pants on Friday.
I mean, so, I'm over it. This morning I had to put my heavy sweater on again. What's happening?
Not boating weather.
No, but tomorrow.
It's getting there. Tomorrow's going to be nice. Yeah,
again.
So tomorrow you can get out there a little bit.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So get out there and enjoy the weather as you can, because it's going to chill off again a little bit later, but the boating season is on its way. It's getting here, right?
Yes.
So it definitely is. 850-437-1620 is the number. You may call or text us with a question or comment. We're going to give something away here in a little bit, too. So 850-437-1620 is that phone number. Boat Smart, sponsored by Key Marine Center of Northwest Florida. Key Marine, located at 5621 Bauer Road here in Pensacola, 850-492-0487. Check out their website. They show you all their stuff that they have in stock, the Yamaha product Mercury, the Suzuki, Cox Diesel outboards, and MerCruiser items that they have there, and all their specials and everything are on their website at keymarinecenter.com. You can also give them a call, 850-492-0487. They're more than happy to talk to you on the phone or go by and visit them.
Well, now is the time. If you're getting ready to put that boat in the water, get it checked out. Be safe.
You definitely got to, because the season is getting here, and once it gets here, it is here, wide open throttle. So
that's true.
That's usually how it works. So that we're busy over at Georgetown Technical College. Georgetown, located 2400 Longleaf Drive here in Pensacola, Florida. GeorgetownCollege.edu. Check out that chat feature on there if you want to get a hold of anybody. And they'll be more than happy to call you back or email you, however you choose to make that happen. GeorgetownCollege.edu, and check out that chat feature. So we had some fun we always have fun. So at Georgetown, you know, in our class, I always say we have fun and fun in learning, right? If you're not having fun learning, you're probably not learning. That's the way I kind of look at it, Bill.
Right.
You know, gotta have fun,
that's true.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we had a big cookout last night, hamburgers and brats. That was neat.
Where was my invitation?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I mean, you know, right?
Yeah.
Did you get an invitation, Bill?
No, I did not.
Need to work on that.
See how he is. Yeah.
The food was good. The problem was trying to teach 20-year-olds how to grill out. So there was a lesson in that. I ended up on the grill a little bit, and so did one of my older students as well. So we kind of gave them a lesson on how to start charcoal and stuff like that.
Without
setting your hair on fire.
Yeah, without setting your hair on fire and all that good stuff. And, you know, the lessons that we teach over there, a lot of times doesn't have anything to do with boats, you know.
Right.
So that was pretty cool. But we also did interviews this week, so mock interviews. And I had a great time doing that. The students had to have a prepared resume.
Oh.
So on Wednesday and Thursday, we did interviews. And on Wednesday, I did an interview with myself. It was me. I was the owner of MST Marine Services, right?
Okay.
And I have my service manager there, Christian, who was my service manager. And him and I interviewed a couple people on Wednesday.
I didn't realize you did that. I have to tell you, that is so important. That is one of the hardest things for folks. They get all this knowledge, and we say, okay, go out in the community. Good luck. But giving them that interview, that is the key.
Yeah, we
really
do that.
Is important.
And we give them points on all the things like walking into the room, mm-hmm. how they interact with us, the questions that they ask, and all these things. So I'll give them points on all that stuff, right?
Right.
So it was fun because even though they knew us, it was they were still nervous.
Of course. The interviewing process is nerve-wracking.
Yep. And on Thursday, we added a service. We added our parts manager, which was Lauren. She was our parts manager, so we had that three-tier interview process going on, and we broke up the questions between, and we added some stuff because we did it. We were actually learning, too, as we do it. I do this from time to time, but I'm going to do it a lot more. I really enjoy doing that. And
it's great for the kids.
It was funny that when we sat down, the people that were helping me, the students were helping me, they've never been interviewed before, but they were interviewers, so which is interesting.
Yeah.
And Lauren sat down. She said, I don't know why I'm so nervous. I said, that's a good thing because you're taking this serious, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so we interviewed and we scored people on their interviews and stuff like that. And it was very interesting to find out who really did well on interviews, who didn't do well, and all the critiquing that we do afterwards to help them do better on interviews.
The unfortunate part is that some folks are actually very skilled at what they do, but they're not very good at interviews and social interactions.
Exactly. And on the opposite side, the mm-hmm. flip side of that,
the
you may
ones.
Have somebody interviews very well,
mm-hmm.
you know, that does not do well in the shop, you know,
right.
and that kind of thing, or, you know, not a good employee. And you don't really know until you get them at your place for several weeks and try to, in the on-site interview, you know, starts.
Right.
Right. So you just never know. But we had a great time doing that, and I liked it. I was very excited about that. It's just trying to find a time. And we're going to get people to come in and do interviews, and they may not even know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and do interviews with people who don't even know. So we do that, too. So
that's great.
Yeah,
great
really good. Awesome. It was really good.
They don't get that kind of training elsewhere, you know, if you think about it in life. You
no.
know, I remember when I went through my first interviews, no one, you know, did a mock interview for me. So
right.
I was nervous.
Yeah, it makes you very nervous, you know. And I told the students, I said, you know, when you have a job and you're interviewing, you really don't have to leave your job. Those are the easiest interviews.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to go up a little bit or something like that, or maybe leaving and going to another location or something, those are easy. But when you really need a job, and you're looking for a job, and you know those kind of things,
and the bank account's getting low.
Yes, those interviews seem much harder and mm-hmm. make you more nervous. But
sure.
you know, so we crossed all aspects of that, even from the resume, how even the resume can immediately turn you off
mm-hmm.
from the person that's being interviewed.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
So immediately that's you're getting interviewed by your resume. You're also getting interviewed by the receptionist as they walk in, and also how you approach the interviewers when you walk in the room. All these things we taught them.
Okay, let me tell you a little trick that I learned years ago, not necessarily boat smart related, but interview related. I was on an interview, and I was very nice to the person sitting at the reception desk, and then I went in for the interview. I found out later that that was the owner of the company.
Right, you never know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they wanted to see what your personal relations skills are, what your customer relations skills were, and if you came in and you're rude to the receptionist, that tells them a lot.
Exactly right. And I know some people who actually escort after the interview is over, they walk them back out to their car so they could look at their cars.
Ooh.
Not what type of car or anything like that, but how do they keep their car? You know,
is it full of old fast food wrappers?
Right, exactly. Stuff like that.
Right.
That
yeah.
gives you, you know, ideas, you know, of how that person is. So,
goodness.
We had fun with that. And yeah, it just, you know, it was just a good time. And I really, you know, it's part of my class that I super enjoyed it. You know, it was just fun.
Mm-hmm.
And taking it so serious and having the students just learn so much from that. So we ran my boat last week. We went out. We actually put on the boat, we went 67 miles.
Wow.
I got 16.9. It took me 16.9 gallons, so we were at 3.9 miles per gallon on my boat. And that was really good, and I'm saying this because my students serviced my boat.
Oh, that
and,
is good.
And it ran perfectly. And they were all wanting to know on Monday when I came in, how did your boat run, you know?
Awesome.
And that's the way it should be. How did your boat run? You know,
mm-hmm.
that's how you should interact with your customers after they pick up. So we had a great time with that, too. So I'm going to turn it over to Bill, enough of all that stuff. But we've had a great time last week. And we're off. I'm off for a week.
Oh, boy.
I know. Meg is like, she's like, I know.
Yeah.
I'm off for a week. We're on spring break. But I'm supposed to be working.
Fun.
I'm visiting and stuff like that, you know. So I'll be doing some stuff, you know, mm-hmm. school related.
If you just joined us, this is Boat Smart. That's sponsored by Key Marine Center of Northwest Florida. Stephen Schmidt's been telling us all about Georgetown Technology. Uncle College and his Marine Service instructor class. Bill's about to tell us about some things going on at Key Marine. But if you have a question or a comment or something about your boat you're thinking about as you're getting it back in the water this spring, 850-437-1620. This is the expert panel, and there are experts. Go ahead, Bill.
Please go ahead and call us, because we look forward to those questions or even comments, especially if they're praising us. And which we do get that
okay,
a lot.
Then.
I mean, we do. We get that a whole lot. And I've noticed since we've been, sponsoring this show and all, so many people show up at the counter and they're like, hey, we heard you on the radio.
Nice.
And so the word is getting out. And Stefan had talked a little while ago about the temperature, decreasing and increasing. Well, welcome to Northwest Florida. It seems to do this every year right around this time. But as far as the business, no one told the boaters that are dropping off at my place, because we have several dropping off a day. The phone's ringing off the hook with service calls and all that. And then, like I had mentioned in previous shows, we made some major changes in structuring and all, adding technicians and really getting together and talking about it and what can we do to reduce the wait time. And we're still with all that. I want to knock on wood. It does change up. So a lot of times boats that are dropping off, there's way more wrong with them than they either want to say,
right,
like we had talked about in the past, because they think it may cost them less or whatever. Things that legitimately they just don't know is there. We know as professional marine mechanics to find stuff or at least notice it and bring it to their attention. So we're still only a day or two out from looking at stuff. Depends on what it is, on how long it'll take us to actually get it completely done. A lot of that does hinge on, where the parts we're getting. And, as far as the parts go, Aaron up front's finding them anywhere. And so we're getting them as quick as we can.
Okay, we have a text in from one of our listeners, and it's kind of a two-part question here, guys. It says, I went to OMC school in the late 70s or so. What are some of the best changes that have been made to outboard motors since that time? And then the second question is also, why would anyone have turned down a 75 Stinger?
Very good. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I remember that call.
Yeah.
But one of the major things is the 2-4 stroke transformation. I'm sure Stefan will agree. It really revolutionized everything and how quiet they are, fuel efficiency, reliability, and all of that, and in longevity as well.
Yeah, can you explain what 2-4 stroke, what you're talking about?
Yeah, we had touched on that in the past, but it's the way there are motors that take 2 revolutions of the crankshaft to make 1 power stroke, and there are some that have 4 revolutions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the 2-stroke, it only takes 2 revolutions of the crankshaft, and 4-stroke, it takes 4 to make 1 power stroke or forcing the piston back down to spin the... At the end of the day, that's all we're trying to do is spin that shaft that has the prop on it, efficiently. So
it makes it faster.
Well, not necessarily faster. The 2-stroke product, of course, is the only reason we're not dealing with 2-strokes anymore is because of regulations, right?
Mm-hmm.
That because they're dirty motors. But they run really great when you have one that a 2-stroke that seems to have a lot more power and torque on the low end and all the way up to mid range or so. Where the 4-stroke product has a little less torque on the bottom end. They start making a horsepower on the top end,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. But the 2-stroke versus 4-stroke, there's more moving parts in a 4-stroke than a 2-stroke, and there's a lot to that.
Right.
And I teach that in my classroom, and it's more than like a 10-minute conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yep. So we appreciate that call. But they also are text. So what I also would say on that, the digital motors, I think that is a great, new thing that, not so new, but new thing that everybody's looking at,
right.
The digital motors and stuff like that, rather than mechanical, that has really changed the game too, as well. So a lot of that. Yeah. So, definitely from 2-stroke to 4-stroke and the motors that we have nowadays are just so much different.
So how do you keep up with all of these changes? Cause that's major going from to digital, isn't it?
Oh yeah. You just pay attention like we do and eat, sleep, and live it all day, every day. And, of course, all the technicians are going to schools, or he's actually getting them trained in the beginning and getting some Yamaha certifications, Mercury and whatnot, getting them started off there. But, just paying attention. And really, it takes a special person that's what we like to call motorhead, you know, that yeah. really, you know, is impressed by all of it and mm-hmm. wants to learn as much as there is to know about it.
Okay, yeah. we have
digital product in our platforms, Suzuki, Yamaha, and Mercury.
Okay, got another question. Electric motors, ? What are your thoughts on those?
They've been around forever since we have trolling motors.
So. Yeah, trolling motors are definitely
one. I remember
one.
Those.
But as far as the ones on the back, those are starting to take shape. But still, electric motors, the technology and the motors themselves, is, you know, they have some impressive motors. We're always just kind of restricted by the battery technology at this point. Mm-hmm. And we're just not quite there, you know, when it comes to that and the amount of time it takes to recharge those batteries versus pulling up to a gas station and putting, you know, just regular gas in the boat, you know. But and then it has a lot to do with the load that's on a boat. You know, most of the time, electric cars, as soon as they get rolling 50, 60 miles an hour, there's very little drag on them, but the drag remains constant on a boat hull as it's traveling through the water. So we're just not quite there yet on the mm-hmm. bigger motors, but they do have some smaller motors. Yamaha has, what is it called, the Harmo? Or
yeah, I think that's
Harmo,
what it is.
Harman series. We haven't seen any of them at our shop, though.
Yeah. Okay. These waters are probably not good for that.
Yeah. I mean, for lakes and things like mm-hmm. that, maybe some short little river runs or things, but mainly lakes, you might see the electric type motors and stuff like that, and that's great for those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a lot of lakes you can't put a gas motor on.
Okay, well, one of the things you mentioned you wanted to discuss today was courtesy at the boat ramp and on the water.
Yeah, that's pretty important. We've been wanting to talk about that for quite some time now. We just never seem to get to it. But now that it's springtime and all, it's a great time to talk about it. You know, there are certain rules of etiquette, I guess is what you'd say, when you actually go to launch your boat at a ramp. And you know, it can either make a real pleasant day for everybody involved, not only in your boat, but as far as everyone else. You know, you have people with varying experiences there, some of them, and a lot of people that's done it a million times, like Stefan and I, over and over, we can just pull up, boop, get everything together and go. But one of the most important things that we run into is sometimes people don't prep their boat before they actually get in the line to, you know, to wait their turn to back down to the ramp, because usually you want to do that as quick as you possibly can. That way, you know, people can keep going and you know, and then not only that, you know, some people, they will just wait till they get in that line and start loading coolers in the boat and all that, and they don't have a clear plan of what's going on. But, you know, like Stefan had said in his write-up that I was reading earlier, you know, a lot of that, there's a lot to it there. You want to make sure that you have a plan. You know, there's usually one person that holds the rope as you back down into the water. And there's a lot there. But, yeah, you want to be as efficient as possible at the ramp. And there are some other, you know, courtesy rules of etiquette on the water that we'll talk about as soon as Stefan adds to what I just said.
Yeah, so preparation is the biggest thing, you know. Mm-hmm. You need to know where you're going, first of all, what boat ramp, and know the ins and outs of that boat ramp is very important. But I prep my boat before I leave. I usually put everything on my boat before I even leave the house, okay?
Mm,
so everything
smart.
Is on board my boat. I have a few items. I might grab my wallet. You know, I'm going to grab a drink or something, and I'm getting on the boat. And then we have a team plan when we get there. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to back the boat down and get it lined up, put the boat almost in the water, you know, the back of it in the water. Then my wife will get in behind the driver's seat, and we'll put the boat finish it off into the water after I get the motor running, and I'll put it on the dock. She's parking the truck and that kind of stuff. So it's a game plan of how to launch your boat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we try to get on the dock. This is very important. When you're on the dock, make sure you give room for other boats. I see people all the time park in the middle of the dock, and now you have no room either side of their boat. So once you launch your boat, where are you going to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes a problem too. So pay attention to the dock and how you're putting your boat on the dock as well. But pre-prep is the main thing. I think that's a big part of it. And even though we are, you know, hopefully experts at doing this, sometimes people mess up, you know, and mm-hmm. it just happens, you know, and you have to pay attention. What bothers me more than anything whenever I put a boat in the water is if some reason we change the way we do things. I want to do it same every single way every time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if there's one little step that we didn't take or something, it messes me up.
Yeah. Repetition is the key.
It is. And it messes me up. I'm like, oh, wait, what's that? Why are you doing this or why are you doing that, you mm-hmm. know, and all that. So, and then, if you have somebody that's not familiar with backing a boat down and that too, practice, practice, practice.
Yep.
Yep.
And I'd like to remind everybody that you really have to have patience for the people that aren't quite as experienced as us. As long as they, you know, are doing everything in their power to go through this process safely but quickly as they can, people just need to, you know, realize that some people just got their boat. And, you know, as time goes by, if they're really thinking about it and they really care, like most people do, that they're going to get better at doing that.
Yeah, I like to watch ladies trying to back boats down in the water because typically they're the ones that are scared to get on the behind the wheel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my wife is learning as well, still learning. And last week we seen a lady that was putting a boat on a trailer. And when you could tell she was nervous. She was getting signals from her husband or whoever was there with her. And once she got the boat on the trailer, I was like, walked over and I said, good job, you know?
Aww.
And, you try to encourage people when they're mm-hmm. doing things like that. But also be patient, like Bill said. And it's little bitty turns of the steering wheel when you're backing one down. And it just, you see people crank on that steering wheel and the trailer's going one way and the truck's going another way. And it just becomes a fiasco
mm-hmm.
at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And my best thing I could tell you, if you're not lined up, the best thing you could do is always pull forward a little bit, get everything lined up again, and then slowly back down.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be fast. You just have to be straight and, you know, and ease your way back down in the water. I think that's a good thing. I typically use one mirror, and whatever the side the dock is on, that's the mirror I'm going to use. So if it's on my left side, the driver's side, I'm watching that mirror, and I'm lining my boat up with the dock.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm coming down, I'm looking at the dock, and then I'll glance to the other mirror, especially you know, on a two-boat ramp, you know, two or three boats, and I'll make sure nobody's bothering me on that side and just go down. And I'll glance at the other mirror that's not on the dock side and then ease the boat back down. I use my mirrors. I just, mm-hmm. you know, that's just the way I do it. I don't look over my shoulder or anything. So
right.
practice using your mirrors. That helps too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yep, and one other suggestion might, you know, if you have the ability to do this, maybe practice somewhere when you're not at the ramp. You know, there used to be this big airfield off of Avalon Boulevard that people would go and learn how to drive. And I remember going down there. It doesn't even have to be with a boat trailer, but any kind of trailer, they still back the same. So if you've got the ability to access a wide open place, maybe you should spend a Saturday afternoon at practicing. That way you really just want to keep the frustration down at the boat ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen some big arguments at boat ramps.
Oh, dear. You know? One of the things I've seen, and I see you've got a note about it, is people get it in the water and then they take off really fast.
Yes.
So I like this. It says a note here. It says, follow no wake zones immediately.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, and no wake zones can be official no wake zones, but it can also be a courtesy no wake zone.
Right.
No matter where you're at, whether it's in a no wake or any other wake, you are responsible for your wake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that you need to keep that in mind. So as you're passing other boats and things like that, maybe there are docks and stuff, and it's still an open go ahead and run type situation, you still are responsible. So you need to kind of canvas the area and understand if there's a boat that's docking or something and I'm coming through an area, I'm going to slow down so I'm not rocking that boat. If I see a boat fishing on the side or something, and I'm going to slow down and get past that boat before I put a wake. But specifically boat ramps, you should not wake those areas.
Okay.
Okay? Even if they're signed or not, that's just common courtesy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had a couple other don'ts down here on your list, too. We've only got a couple minutes left, so I want to try to see if we can
do
something.
So you want to do the giveaway real quick while we're talking about this?
That.
Let's see if we can make that happen.
This
I don't know if we can, but try it.
Yeah, this week we just wanted to get someone to text in Key Marine.
Okay.
Be the second caller to do so, and the prize is a Mercury hat and I believe a Suzuki Huggy.
Okay, 850-437-1620. Just text in the words Key Marine and be sure to put your full name in there and your email.
So I like this one. Don't block the ramp while prepping and socializing. I see people a lot of times standing in the middle of a ramp talking.
Beer in hand.
Yeah,
yes, exactly. So that
oblivious
is one deal.
To everyone around
mm-hmm.
them.
Yep. Don't power load. That is very important. That's when you're putting your boat on the trailer where you're actually throttling the boat up trying to ease the put the boat on the trailer and to sit there with a throttle on.
Oof.
That washes away the underneath of the boat ramp, and eventually the boat ramp will either collapse or your trailer can go off the end of the boat ramp. That's another one that we got to pay attention to.
Right.
I don't power load. I run my boat up and I'll give it some throttle, bump it, and I'm done. Right. Mm-hmm. So those kind of things. We'll continue with this next week as we go. And we're also going to talk next week about boat show stuff too. So,
oh, fun. Yeah. Okay. That sounds great. Okay. Again, that number for the prize, 850-437-1620. Just text in the words Key Marine.
Yeah. We got that in a little late today. Sorry about that.
That's okay. We can do it again.
We got so engrossed in talking about that. And real quick to touch on the wake situation, that wake can disrupt, you know, anybody, even experienced boaters. So you really have to pay attention to your wake.
Okay, guys, thank you so much. This has been Boat Smart. We appreciate you being here. Thank you, Stefan. Thank you, Bill. Key Marine Center of Northwest Florida. You can check out the classes at Georgetown Technical College.
Right, georgetowncollege.edu.
All right, thank you guys so much for being here. This is Pep Talk. You can go to keymarinecenter.com or give them a call at 850-492-0487. We'll be back right after the news.